Well, good morning, church. I'm not John. Some of you are like, what? I thought he was back. He is back, but listen, we are a team here, and it is never about one person on this stage. It is about one person. His name is Jesus. And so it's not about the person that's up here. Yeah. It is about a team, and we actually have a plethora of communicators that are able to communicate God's word, and some of them even use the word plethora on stage, okay? So, you know, you're in good hands. But, you guys are looking good today. Turn to the person next to you and say, you're looking good today. Okay, now turn to the other person and say, sorry, you're my second choice, but you're looking good too. Good, 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 good. Oh man, I just want to welcome you guys today, welcome you into the church, into God's house so we can open God's word. I want to welcome those of you online out in Baghdad and Paulden. I want to welcome special shout out to Gavin and Brody watching in the Bay Area in California right now. Yeah, give it up for them. Anyone in here tired of the book of Galatians yet? Good, good. I'm glad you said no, because we're in week 6 and we got more weeks to come. And man, I love this. And I can just imagine as this letter was going to the church in Galatia, right? There was multiple churches in there. We think in the 21st century, the American church invented multi-site. Nope. There was multiple churches in Galatia, and what they would do is they would have this letter that Paul wrote be read to the church, and they would hear this letter, and I can imagine them as their eyes are getting wider and wider listening to what Paul has to say. Like, did he just say that about us? Like, and that's where they are listening to the words that Paul has here, and we're going to pick up in chapter 3, verse 26. It says this, "So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Right? There is one Christ, and we are one in Christ. I had the opportunity to go to the Dominican Republic and to go with a group from Heights, and it was an absolutely incredible trip. It was amazing as we got to serve people, as we got to just talk about God, and we got to pray for people, and just so much to talk about there. And we learned so many things, but one of the lessons that I learned, probably the clearest of the lessons, is that I learned that my high school Spanish class failed me, okay? I'm just saying, like I had no clue what anyone was saying the whole time. I'm like, huh? Right? Like I know like 10 Spanish words. I know taco, burrito, carne, pollo. Right? There's a theme here. Some of you are like, bro, you need to chill and hit the gym. I know. Okay. I'm saying, I know. But man, I couldn't understand what they were saying. And for a lot of the Dominicans, they didn't speak English. And so there was kind of this language barrier. We had some translators and we were able to do that. But I mean, I remember we went to this church service. And as we're at this church service, they're worshiping and they're singing in Spanish because that is their language, but they sing songs that we know. And so we're there and we were singing in English and they were singing in Spanish. And I'm just looking at this room and I'm seeing this happen. And I just think, man, this is a picture of heaven. All right, all different tongues, all different nations praising the same God. Coming together and we have so many differences, but we're praising the same God. We have one spirit, we have one God, and we have so much in common. But what happens is that sometimes we have a problem of focusing on the differences instead of the similarities. And we have this thing called prejudices that come up in our life that is a human problem that we deal with. And it's not just a problem that we deal with nowadays, because Paul is writing directly to it here. And what he's saying is you guys are focusing on the differences instead of focusing on the similarities. All right, and he uses things like Jew versus Gentile, right? He's speaking against racism. Right, he uses things like slave versus free. He's speaking against classism. Right, he says male and female. He's speaking against sexism. And what he's saying is when you focus on differences, all you see is differences. But when you focus on the right things, you see the right things. I moved to Arizona about 4 years ago. And when I moved here, I was like, man, it is really hot. I don't know if I can handle this. It's so hot in Arizona. And there's a stock line that everyone says. They say, yeah, it's hot, but it's a dry heat. Yeah, no, it's a hot heat, bro. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. You can throw that word around. It's a dry heat. It's a dry. No, it's hot, right? It's a hot heat. That's for sure. dry heat. You kidding me? Then I went to the Dominican Republic for 10 days. Well, I'm telling you right now, well, on Monday, we got off the plane. It was 110 degrees in Phoenix, and it was refreshing. I was like, this is wonderful. Like, we were just drenched the whole time we were there in sweat, the whole time. It was like you jumped in a pool with your clothes on, but you weren't in a pool. Right? You walk up to someone, and you're like, how you doing? What is that? Like, we were just sweating the whole time, man. It was hot, and as we were out serving, we would go and we were delivering food to people, and we were praying for people, and we were running camps for kids, and we were doing all this amazing ministry, and it was incredible how we would get to the end of the day, and we'd sweat the whole time. But man, as we were focused on doing all these other things, we didn't realize that it was hot at all. When you focus on the right things, you see the right things. But then there were some times where we would just get together as a group and go, man, look how sweaty you are, and look how sweaty I am, and it's really hot here. And we start focusing on the temperature, and we start focusing on how hot it is, and we forgot that we were even there to serve because all we saw was the heat that we were in. When you focus on the wrong things, when you focus on the differences, you see differences. But when you focus on the right thing, you see the right thing. It says in Philippians 4, verse 8, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. That's what you focus on. Listen, we don't have a racism, classism, or sexism problem. We have a focus problem. And when we focus on the differences, all we see is differences. But when we focus on the right thing, we see the right things. The right thing is focusing on Jesus. Jesus is our common ground. Jesus is the common ground that we have with everybody to circle around. It doesn't matter if they are in the same class as you. It doesn't matter if they're male or female. It doesn't matter what race or religion they even are. Jesus is the common ground that we can bring people to. If they believe in Jesus, there's a common ground. That's what we bring people to. And we have to understand that that is what we come to. And what it says here on how to do it is clothe yourself with Christ. Clothe yourself with Christ. My youngest daughter right now, she's 3, and she is in the dress herself phase, right? Parents, you know what I'm talking about, right? She'll come out of her room, and she's like, I'm ready to go. And she's wearing like a bathing suit with cowgirl boots and snow gloves. And I'm like, you ain't ready to go, kid. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're not leaving the house like that. She's like, no, I'm ready. I'm good. And I'm like, why are you wearing that? She's like, I don't know. I'm like, but you're the one who put it on. It didn't happen by accident. Right? You don't just accidentally put some on. None of you left the house today and were like, would you look at that? I got clothes on. There is intentionality for you to clothe yourself, which, by the way, I'm very happy about. I'm glad you made a great choice today by putting clothes on to come to church, okay? Just saying. Good choice. But it didn't happen by accident. There's intentionality to clothe yourself. But I think a lot of times, while we will spend time clothing ourselves here, we won't clothe ourselves with Jesus. And Paul's saying, if you're going to move forward in understanding what matters and focusing on the right thing, you have to clothe yourself with Jesus, which takes intentionality. It takes you to go, okay, I'm intentionally clothing myself with him. And Paul's saying, you got to get this. This is so important because we are family. And what Paul says next is going, this is important because we are this family, and there's some implications for being a part of this family. He says this, he goes in Galatians chapter 4, verse 1, we made it to chapter 4, say whoop, whoop. Some of you weren't excited that we made it to chapter 4. Come on, that's a big deal. He says this, he says, what I'm saying here is that as long as an heir is underage, he is no different than from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. The heir is subject to guardians and trustees until the time is set by his father. He's saying you might own this, right? You might have this as your inheritance, but until you come of age, it doesn't matter. And what Paul is doing is he's setting up this next analogy. He's saying you have to understand this, and let me tell you what that means. Verse 3, so also, he's going to compare it, so also, when we were underage, we were in slavery under the elemental spiritual forces of the world. We followed the world. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are God's child, God has made you also an heir. that you have been adopted into God's family. Growing up, my aunt and uncle, they were unable to have kids, and they spent years trying to have kids, and they couldn't. And I remember every night I would pray and just pray, God, please give them a baby, give them a kid. And it was a struggle for them for years and years. And my aunt, because it was such a struggle for her, she had such a heart for the pro-life movement. And so she was always working with people and trying to help, saying, listen, I can't have a baby. Please save this baby. And she would go in front of abortion clinics. And as women were walking in, she would stop them and she would talk to them. And she'd say, hey, if you continue through with this pregnancy, I will take your baby and I will adopt it. And I have four cousins that were saved. I have four cousins named Paul and Vita. Vita, which means life in Spanish. And Jack and Lucy. And man, it's incredible to see them. And as we sit around as a family, when we sit with them, we look at them and they're a part of our family. They're not just like, oh, well, you get to sit off to the side. No, they're a part of our family. But even more than that, man, they were destined for death. They were literally on a course for death until someone stepped in and said, no, I will save you and I will adopt you to be a part of my family. And that is you and my story, because you were on a course for death until Jesus stepped in and said, I want to adopt you to be a part of my family. I want to bring you into my family. And that's what this is. You are no longer a slave, but you are an adopted child. You are no longer a slave, you are an adopted child. And this idea, what it says here, it says is adopted to sonship. And this is a concept that in this world that these people were reading this letter would have understood. But for us, when we think of adoption, we think this idea of sonship, we think of it as just a relational status, but this was actually a legal status. And when we think of adoption, a lot of times we think of babies, we think of children. But this was actually a grown adult that would be adopted into sonship. And if you know anything about adults, what happens to adults is we accrue some debt, right? We build up some debt. We're good at that. And so what this adoption into sonship meant is it meant that old debts were canceled and a new identity was received. You were given full rights as a part of this family, full rights in inheritance, full rights in everything, and your old debts were canceled so that you could receive a new identity. Listen, your old debts have been canceled. You've been adopted to sonship. Your old burdens, your old pain, the old brokenness, the old things that you went and you did that built up a barrier between you and God have been canceled so that you could be given full standing rights as a son or daughter of God. That is what it means. That's what he's saying here, is he's understanding this. And I think in the church world, sometimes we don't understand the true impact of this because we get this one thing wrong. And I'm going to say this statement that may make you go, wait a sec, is that true? But I'm going to explain it. Not everyone is a child of God. And we like to say, well, everyone's a child of God. God created everyone. He loves everyone. And that is true. He created everyone. He loves everyone. But not everyone is a child of God. In fact, before Jesus, you are an enemy of God with an invitation to sonship. You are an enemy with an invitation to sonship. And listen, that's not cruel to say that. That's even more beautiful. Because you and I and everyone was an enemy of God, but was given an invitation to sonship. Man, that's incredible. That's incredible. It brings a lot more light to when Jesus was walking around teaching and Jesus said things like, love your enemies. Right? Because when we hear that, we're like, oh, I'll just do something nice for my enemy. What he's really saying is go to your enemy and say, hey, I want to adopt you into my family. So we're like, I'm not doing that. But guess what? That's what Jesus did with you. Because you were his enemy. And he extended an invitation to sonship and say, no, I want you to be a part of my family. I want you to bring you into this and I want you to understand what it means to be a part of my family. And Paul continues saying, this is what it means. Verse 8, he says, formerly, when you did not know God, when you were an enemy of God, you were slaves to those who by nature are not gods. You were slaves to the things of this earth. But now that you know God, or rather are known by God, I mean, come on, I love that. That's a mic drop moment right there. You think you know God? No, God knows you, right? He says, so then how is it that you are turning back to those weak and miserable forces? Why are you going back to the same things? Do you wish to be enslaved by them all over again? He's like, you're observing these special days and months and seasons and years. You're going back to it. All right, what he's telling them is something that we need to listen to. Don't go back to your old ways. Live into the promise of who God has called you to be. Don't go back to the old ways. Don't go back to your old brokenness. Don't go back to those old same things. Live into what God has called you to be. One of the things on the trip that we got to take that was such a blessing for us is that we got to break some of the habits that we formed here in the U.S. That a lot of times we don't even know are happening, but are really unhealthy habits. I don't think we realize how tied we are to our devices, specifically our phones. And as we went on this trip, we made it very clear to our group, hey, listen, we are here to do ministry and we are here to be present. And for 10 days on this trip, we weren't glued to our phones. We weren't scrolling for no reason. We were present. We were doing ministry. We were having conversations. We were relational. All these things were happening. It was just incredible because we weren't stuck to the thing that was tying us down before. And we got to break those and it was amazing. But as we got back on the plane and as we started heading home, we were in the airport and I look around, man, and I see some of our people, including myself, just scrolling mindlessly, just doom scrolling for no reason, man. What am I doing? Why am I doing this? Right, going exactly back to the old ways. And I think a lot of us in our life, we do that exact same thing. Yes, I follow you, Jesus, and I'm going, but then all of a sudden we go right back to our old ways. We go right back to the same issues, the same things. We go back to the old patterns of our living and we try to get life from something that was never supposed to give you life. Instead of realizing that we have life in Christ. Don't go back to being a slave. Live into the promise who God has called you to be. Right, sometimes we're telling ourselves the wrong messages. You need to start telling yourself who you're becoming, not who you were. Don't tell yourself who you were. Don't even tell yourself about your shortcomings now. Speak life and tell yourself who you're becoming. Tell yourself your identity you have in Christ. What if we spoke life to not only ourselves, but the people around us? And instead of telling people where they are, tell them who they're becoming. This is who you're becoming in Christ. Focus on their potential and their God-given identity. Not their past brokenness, not their current failures. What Paul says here is he says, hey, don't go back to your old ways. And then he says this in that verse 10, is he said, you are observing special days and months and seasons and years. And I think there's two meanings that he could mean here. We don't know specifically, but there's two theories of what Paul means when he talks about these months and seasons and years that they are observing. And I think we can learn from both theories. The first theory is this, is that Paul's saying, hey, don't go back to your old ways. You're observing all these things. He's saying you're observing these holidays and you're doing these things as obligation to try to prove your worth to God instead of realizing that you already have it, right? You're trying to be more Jewish than you are a follower of Jesus. And he's saying you don't need to go back to that. Why are you doing that? Don't do those things. You've left that. And I think we can learn from that because a lot of us, we go right back to those things and Jesus is going, no, hey, I already freed you from that. I already freed you from that and you're going right back to something that you were doing before that you don't need to do. There's something else. But I think the other thing that Paul could have meant here as he was writing this is he was saying, hey, don't go back to your old ways. You observe these seasons, these months, and these years. And you have to understand that the point of observing these seasons and months and years were for remembering what God had done. It was things like Passover, to remember what God had done in Egypt where he passed over and he let them escape from slavery and brought them into freedom. And they set aside time in their life to remember what God had done in the past. And he's going, hey, if you set aside time to remember this, you've been through this, you've done this, and why are you going back to your old ways? Because you remember what God has freed you from. I think sometimes we need to remember what God has freed us from. Sometimes we go back and you need to understand that the God that freed you in the past can free you in the future. The same God that did things in your past can do things in your future. But we get caught up in this thing of going, oh, this trial that I'm facing is just really hard right now. I don't know how I'm going to get through it. When God's going, hey, I already got you through it. And if I got you through it before, I can get you through it again. I get caught in this trap all the time. I get caught in this trap when it comes to my finances of being like, man, I don't know, this is a really tough spot. I don't know how I'm gonna get through this. And God has to remind me, listen, every single time you've been in this situation before, I've got you through it. You've never gone hungry. Your kids have never gone hungry. I've always provided and it comes in so many different ways. I can't even begin to tell you the just insane ways that God has provided throughout our life. But every time I encounter a new situation, I go, I don't know. And I forget to remember what God has done for me in the past. Every time you face a temptation, you go, I don't know how I'm gonna get through this temptation. The same God that brought you through the last one can bring you through the next one. And we have to remind ourselves. Because when we remind ourselves what God has done, it keeps us from going back to where we were. And what he's telling him here is he's saying, hey, this is really important. This is important for you to understand this because I don't want you to go back to who you were before. And then Paul continues in this chapter, verse 11 through 31, which I'm not going to read to you, but I'm going to tell you what he says. He gives them an example of what this is like. And he gives them the example from Abraham, where Abraham was promised from God that he would have many, many heirs. He would be the father of many nations. And Abraham goes, there's a problem with that because I don't have one kid. And he goes, no, I'm promising you there's going to be one. And so as Abraham's walking through this, his wife Sarah's going, well, why don't you just sleep with my slave and then you can have a kid? And so he did, and he forced his will instead of trusting God's will, but God still came through, and him and Sarah ended up having a kid. So now he has two kids. One is a slave and one is free. And Paul uses this as an example in this letter to the Galatians to say the difference between a slave and a free. And he's saying, no, you don't live like a slave, live free. And for that context, they would understand this and that would really land for them as an example of what this means. But I think a better example for our context is the idea of someone who's in foster care. Maybe somebody who grew up in foster care and has bounced from house to house just following the right rules so that they can get by. Never belonging, never having a place where they actually belong, but just going from one place to the next and going, as long as I make it through, that's okay. And I got to follow the right rules so that I make it through. And then maybe this person who's bounced around finds himself in their teenage years, and then they get adopted into a house, into a place where they don't have to follow the rules to be liked, to be loved, to make it through, but they've actually been given a true identity. They've been given a place in the family, and they go, no, no, I belong here. This is who I am because I'm not just stopping by, but I actually belong and I have an identity. All right, and this is not about rules and freedom. It's about identity. It's about living as a son, and living as a son means operating from belonging, not striving for acceptance. All right, it's the difference between oh, I obey so I will be loved, and I am loved so I will obey. It's understanding who we are in Jesus. Church, if you're taking notes, write this down. When you know you're part of God's family, you live like you're part of God's family. When you know where your identity is, when you know you're part of God's family, it changes the way that you live your life. It changes what you do in your life, because when you're a part of God's family and you know it, you live like it. What does that look like? First is this, is you grasp your identity. You grasp your identity. Right, that means that you have confidence in God's love. I stop trying to earn God's approval. You're not trying to earn God's approval. You're trying to live from a place of acceptance. Man, this is one of the things that I struggle with the most. If I'm honest, it's been a struggle my entire life. And my parents did a wonderful job when I was a kid of telling me that I was loved no matter what. But there was something wired inside of me that I felt like if I performed, then I could gain acceptance. I could gain love. And growing up, it was through sports, it was through baseball for me. And if I was good enough at baseball, then I would be accepted by the people around me. If I could prove that I was good enough with what I did, then people would love me. People would see me the right way. Then I would have acceptance. And it carried over to when I got into ministry. And as I got into ministry, I found myself in places where I would be speaking to large crowds and it would be incredible. And I'd get off stage and I would go, I need a bigger stage. It wasn't enough because I'm trying to prove my worth to not just the people around me, but I'm trying to prove my worth to God. God, if I'm just good enough for you, then you'll accept me. And I would go speak at a conference and it would be incredible. And as soon as I'd get done, I'd go, well, I need to get booked at a bigger conference. And I would write something on the internet and it would go out and a lot of people would view it. And it felt really good until I realized it's not enough and I need some more people to view it. And I need to write the next thing and I need to do more because that's where I'm going to get my acceptance and that's where I'm going to get my love. And I was trying to earn the acceptance of not only people, but I was trying to earn the acceptance of God because I did not understand where my identity came from. Listen, your identity is in Jesus. You have to grasp your identity. If you know that you are adopted into God's family, then you live like you're a part of God's family by understanding your identity. It's not out of obligation. It's out of belonging. You belong to his family. You don't need to earn acceptance. You've been given acceptance into God's family. Next is this. We know you're part of God's family. You live like you're a part of God's family, and that means you know your inheritance. You know your inheritance. As a part of God's family, you are an heir. You have an inheritance in him. And that means that you're able to invest in eternal things. You act like you're a part of God's kingdom when you understand your inheritance. That means that you are building into God's kingdom. That means that you are serving in God's kingdom. That means that you are giving to God's kingdom. That means that you are loving just absolutely generously because of God's kingdom. And one of the things that we got to do in the Dominican. As soon as we landed in the Dominican, we went and we went to the church and we started packing up some groceries. We packed up some groceries and we went to deliver them to homes. And we deliver them to homes and we would pray for people. And we went to the first home that we went to deliver groceries. It was an elderly lady. She was probably 87 or 88 years old. And we got to her house. And for us in the U.S., we think of a house and it's totally different. I mean, it's just a concrete slab with some plywood walls. And you can really see through those cracks in the walls to where you can see through the whole house. She invited us in. We went in her house and everything was dirty. Just a coating of dirt over everything. And as we're in this home, we're watching this and we're delivering her this food. And literally this might be the only source of food that she's going to get is us delivering this to her. And we found out she was a believer. And so we prayed for her. We prayed for her family. We prayed for her neighborhood. And then we went on and we delivered to the next house and the next house. And over we saw these stories of this being able to just bless these families and to pray with these families. And later that evening, we go to church and they have church like every night in the Dominican, right? That's how they roll. It's awesome. And we get there, and as we get to this church, man, I'm preaching at that church that night, and I just got to tell you, I love you guys, but man, a Dominican audience, they were like hollering and amening and screaming, right? Like I'm telling you, in heaven, there's going to be like the Dominican section, and then there's going to be the Heights Church. We're going to be on like hole number 8 doing our golf clap, right? Like that's us, right? But I got to say, you guys do think I'm funnier than they do, and I appreciate that. I like that a lot. Okay, I'm okay with that. But man, I got done preaching and I'm standing there and worship is happening and they do offering a little bit different, right? In the U.S., we go, hey, there's some ways on the screen that you can give. There's joy boxes in the back. Some churches you've maybe have been to, they'll pass around a bucket. And what they do here is they bring out this box. I can kind of only describe it as a treasure box. And they set it on the stage and they open it up and people during worship will come forward and they'll place things in the box. They'll place their offering, what they're going to give. As I'm worshiping, I'm standing there. I got done preaching and I see kind of a wobbly walk next to me. I look over and it's this 87, 88-year-old grandma that's walking up to the front. And I'm thinking to myself, man, she needs this money more than just giving it. She's the one that can actually benefit from this. And then I thought, man, what she's giving is probably nothing. But she literally gave everything she had. She placed it in the box and she turned around. And the look of joy on this woman's face is one that I only hope to experience sometime in my life. And she walks back to her seat. And as she's walking back to her seat, man, she's dancing. We called her Gritty Grandma. She's doing the gritty back to her seat. We're like, there goes the Gritty Grandma. And she's giving hugs to all of our students are going over and giving her hugs as she goes back to her seat. But here's the thing, man. I looked at her and I said, she knows her inheritance in Christ. This woman understands that she's a part of God's family. She understands that she has an inheritance in him. And so she's going, I want to build into the kingdom. I want to serve the kingdom. I want to give to the kingdom. I want to live generously. Church, what if we understood our inheritance enough to say it's not about me, it's about building into the kingdom because I'm a part of the family. Because I'm a part of the family, I will live like I'm a part of the family. What does that mean? Next is this, it means you embrace your responsibility. See, sonship, adopted into sonship, includes privilege. It includes so much of an inheritance, but it's also a calling. There's a responsibility because you represent the family. Right? You represent the family. It's your job to bring the family name honor with how you live, with how you love, with how you lead. With the places that you find yourself in, are you bringing the family name honor? Are the people that are around you, would they go, man, I know you and I see you. And because I know you and I see you, I want to be a part of whatever it is that you're doing. Because Jesus is definitely seen through you. Are you bringing the family name honor or are the people you are around? Would they go, man, if that's what it means to be a follower of Jesus, then I want nothing to do with it. How are you representing the family name? Are you embracing your responsibility? Because when you understand that you're a part of the family, you live like you're a part of the family. And that means embracing your responsibility. See, families have resemblance. Let me ask you, for those of you in here who call yourself a follower of Jesus, Do you resemble your father? Are you becoming more like your heavenly father? Do you resemble him? Do you live in a way where you're becoming more like him, and when someone looks at you, you resemble him? For those of you in here who walked in today and you don't know Jesus, I want you to know that you are loved, but I need you to know that you are also an enemy of God, but you have an invitation to sonship. And the invitation is this. The invitation is that Jesus came to this earth and he lived the life that you and I cannot live. He lived the perfect life. Therefore, he became worthy to be the sacrifice for our sins because it needed a perfect sacrifice. And so Jesus went to a cross to be the perfect sacrifice, to stand in your place so that you could have a relationship with God, so that you could be adopted into the family. And my prayer for you today, if you came in and you have not accepted the invitation into sonship, my prayer for you today is that you would give your trust to God, that you would say, I put my faith and trust in you, and I believe what you did for me on that cross, and I believe that you rose from the grave and that you conquered sin and death so that I could become a part of the family. And for those of us in here who've done that, man, we've put our faith in Jesus. You have been adopted into God's family. And when you understand that you're a part of God's family, you live like you're a part of God's family. Let's pray. God, thank you. God, thank you that we are a part of your family. God, thank you that you would allow someone like me into the family, that you would cancel my debts, that you would give me full rights as a son of the King. God, I pray for all of us in here, that we would allow that to sink in and understand what that means, that we would live in a way that's not going back to our slave ways, back to our old ways, God, but that we would be living in the freedom that you have for us. God, that you would help us to speak life into ourselves of who we are becoming in you because of our identity that is found in you, God, that we would embrace the responsibility of being a part of this family. God, I know the heaviness of this message. I know the heaviness of what this means. But God, truly, this is a cause for celebration as we get to praise you and we get to celebrate, God, that you have brought us into your family, that you've accepted us. God, I pray specifically for people in here right now that need to come into the family, that need to accept the invitation, God, that you would put on their heart, they would become a part of the family today. That as one family right now, we would praise you, God, that we would sing to you, that we would give you the glory and praise that you deserve because you allowed us to be a part of this, that you loved us through our mess. God, thank you. God, we praise you. God, we worship you. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.